The frosty grass crunched under their feet as they hurried down the sloping lawns toward the stadium. There was no wind at all, and the sky was a uniform pearly white, which meant that visibility would be good without the drawback of direct sunlight in the eyes. Harry pointed out these encouraging factors to Ron as they walked, but he was not sure that Ron was listening. Angelina had changed already and was talking to the rest of the team when they entered. Harry and Ron pulled on their robes. Ron attempted to do his up back to front for several minutes before Alicia took pity on him and went to help, and then sat down to listen to the pre-match talk while the babble of voices outside grew steadily louder as the crowd came pouring out of the castle toward the pitch.
"Okay, I've only just found out the final lineup for Slytherin," said Angelina, consulting a piece of parchment. "Last year's beaters, Derek and Bowl, have left now, but it looks as though Montague's replaced them with the usual gorillas, rather than anyone who can fly particularly well. There are two blokes called Crab and Goyle. I don't know much about them."
"We do," said Harry and Ron together.
"Well, they don't look bright enough to tell one end of a broom from another," said Angelina, pocketing her parchment. "But then, I was always surprised Derek and Bowl managed to find their way onto the pitch without signposts."
"Crab and Goyle are in the same mould," Harry assured her. They could hear hundreds of footsteps mounting the bank benches of the spectators' stands now. Some people were singing, though Harry could not make out the words. He was starting to feel nervous, but he knew his butterflies were as nothing to Ron's, who was clutching his stomach and staring straight ahead again, his jaw set and his complexion pale grey.
"It's time," said Angelina in a hushed voice, looking at her watch. "Come on, everyone. Good luck."
The team rose, shouldered their brooms, and marched in single file out of the changing room and into the dazzling sunlight. A roar of sound greeted them, in which Harry could still hear singing, though it was muffled by the cheers and whistles. The Slytherin team was standing, waiting for them. They too were wearing those silver crown-shaped badges. The new captain, Montague, was built along the same lines as Dudley, with massive forearms like hairy hams. Behind him lurked Crab and Goyle, almost as large, blinking stupidly in the sunlight, swinging their new beaters' bats. Malfoy stood to one side, the sunlight gleaming on his white blonde head. He caught Harry's eye and smirked, tapping the crown-shaped badge on his chest.
"Captains, shake hands,"
ordered the umpire, Madam Hooch, as Angelina and Montague reached each other. Harry could tell that Montague was trying to crush Angelina's fingers, though she did not wince.
"Mount your brooms!"
Madam Hooch placed her whistle in her mouth and blew. The balls were released, and the 14 players shot upward. Out of the corner of his eye, Harry saw Ron streak off toward the goal hoops. He zoomed higher, dodging a bludger, and set off on a wide lap of the pitch, gazing around for a glint of gold. On the other side of the stadium, Draco Malfoy was doing exactly the same.
"And it's Johnson, Johnson with a quaffle. What a player that girl is. I've been saying it for years, but she still won't go out with me."
"Jordan!"
yelled Professor McGonagall.
"Just a fun fact, Professor, as a bit of interest. And she's Duck Warrington. She's past Montague. She's, ouch, been hit from behind by a bludger from Crab. Montague catches the quaffle. Montague heading back up the pitch. And nice bludger there from George Weasley. That's a bludger to the head for Montague. He drops the quaffle. Caught by Katie Bell. Katie Bell of Gryffindor reverse passes to Alicia Spinnet, and Spinnet's away."
Lee Jordan's commentary rang through the stadium, and Harry listened as hard as he could through the wind whistling in his ears and the din of the crowd all yelling and booing and singing.
"Dodges Warrington, avoids a bludger. Close call, Alicia. And the crowd are loving this. Just listen to them. What's that they're singing?"
And as Lee paused to listen, the song rose loud and clear from the sea of green and silver in the Slytherin section of the stands.
"Weasley cannot save a thing, he cannot block a single ring. That's why Slytherins all sing, Weasley is our king. Weasley was born in a bin, he always lets the quaffle in. Weasley will make sure we win, Weasley is our king."
"And Alicia passes back to Angelina,"
Lee shouted. And as Harry swerved, his insides boiling at what he had just heard, he knew Lee was trying to drown out the sound of the singing.
"Come on now, Angelina. Looks like she's just got the keeper to beat. She shoots! She... Ah!"
Bletchley, the Slytherin keeper, had saved the goal. He threw the quaffle to Warrington, who sped off with it, zigzagging in between Alicia and Katie. The singing from below grew louder and louder as he drew nearer and nearer Ron.
Weasley is our king. Weasley is our king. He always lets the quaffle in. Weasley is our king.